Good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we're excited to continue our monthly program called Dimensions in Diversity, geared towards LGBTQ plus youth in our valley. Every month, we'll bring in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. As a reminder, Dimensions in Diversity broadcasts every first Monday of the month at 4 p.m. on KDNK. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good and is sponsored by Aspen Out. Today, we're very excited to be joined by Diana Andrews, who is a program manager of Garfield County Prep. Thanks for joining us today, Diana.
Thank you.
So please tell us about Garfield County Prep and some of its top priorities at the moment.
Sure. First, I'll clarify that PREP is an acronym for the Personal Responsibility Education Program. It's a mouthful. But our top priority is to reduce teen pregnancy and STI rates. Across the nation, it is a federal program. So it's here in Colorado in two counties and in other states and Guam. And although our top priority is teen pregnancy rates and STI reductions, we recognize that LGBTQ plus youth are actually two times more likely to become pregnant than their straight peers by age 19. We recognize that 40% of youth who are homeless identify as LGBTQ plus. We know that we see a lot of LGBTQ plus kids going through systems of care. So we're always looking to reach them in any way we can with appropriate comprehensive sexual health education.
Wow. And for those that don't know, and probably me in general, what's the difference between STI and STD?
Good question. They're used a lot interchangeably, but since HIV came on the scene, it is not a disease. It is the infection that causes the disease. So to be more inclusive, to include HIV along with the standard STDs we're familiar with, more often you will see STIs now, sexual transmitted infections, but they can be used interchangeably.
See, first question, and I'm already learning a lot. So how is Garfield County Prep different than other LGBT advocacy groups here in our state or our county?
Well, I would say the biggest difference is that we're a comprehensive sexual health education program. We just recognize that LGBTQ issues are sexual health issues, and it's convenient in a way in that we have a new House bill, House Bill 1032, which mandates if a school is going to teach sexual health, it has to be comprehensive. It has to include LGBTQ plus relationships, consent, and some other items that are mandatory. And because our program is already mandated to be evidence-based, inclusive, culturally sensitive, we feel like we're already there. We haven't seen the specifics of what this House bill is going to look like in the field, but we feel like we will have small adjustments to make to the program we've already got running because we're already meeting those marks.
And does Garfield County try to see if they're on par with other counties locally? Do you have your own mission or goals that's geared strictly towards Garfield County, or are there certain guidelines you have to follow from the state as well?
The guidelines actually come from the federal level. So it's federal funding that is distributed to the states, and then the states distribute it to the local level. Mm-hmm. So for here in Colorado, PrEP started with three counties getting the funding. Now it's just in two counties, which is Huerfano and Garfield County. So, and that's where the mandates for our curriculum has to be evidence-based, culturally inclusive, and deal with consent versus coercion and healthy relationships. But nobody has to adopt the PrEP program. We've just been lucky in that two of the three school districts did adopt the comprehensive health standard, and PrEP is an easy fit to meet those requirements. So we are in 14 schools, middle, high, charter, and alternative high schools between Roaring Fork School District and RE2.
So the schools are not required to adopt this.
No, they're required if they teach health to teach comprehensive health. They can do that in any way they so choose. We just got lucky that they chose to implement PrEP. The curriculum has already been screened and some of the work has already been done because of the federal mandates, that it just was an easy fit. The struggle then becomes who is going to deliver the curriculum. So I've been very lucky here in Garfield County that we have found staff and teachers who are comfortable and willing to become trained to deliver the curriculum. So for me, I rarely go into the school and deliver the curriculum unless they have a need. Like just last week, a bunch of teachers were all at a training and we don't have subs who are trained to come in and teach it. So I was able to fill in for them, and that helps. But having the teachers in the school teaching it is really great for sustainability, because the program can continue when the funding or my position, if those things go away. The funding is due to end, but we're going to look for other funding sources to keep the program going. Whatever that looks like, it will be easier for the schools to keep the program going because it's already embedded in the schools. The staff is already trained. I supply them with as much material and resources as possible so that when the money does go away or gets greatly reduced, they're not burdened with the finances of the materials.
That's great. And I can just imagine those particular teachers have that background information. And as new kids come in or, kids bring up different questions, they're already armed with that background information. So they don't have to necessarily get retrained. They have that in their back pocket to always pull from.
Yeah, it's not so much of a retrain, but especially when we're talking about LGBTQ plus issues and just the vocabulary alone. It's not a one and done. I find the more I know, the more I don't know. the more I think I understand, especially around the vocabulary.
Sure.
And some of the youth emotions that are triggered around some of this vocabulary. It's an ongoing learning process because I think LGBTQ issues in general are evolving. So we must evolve with them. So it's an ongoing education, but the meat of it is done, and now it's just tweaking and adding to what they already know to stay relevant and up to date.
Great. It definitely seems pretty comprehensive, and
yeah.
I thought I knew what you did, but
right?
I definitely did not know what you did.
So my mother doesn't know what I do either.
So speaking of that, kind of going, back a little bit. So tell our listeners a little bit about you, your position as program manager, how you got involved in this.
Sure. I laughed. The way I got involved was the ad in the paper was looking for an advocate. And so I'm like, yeah, me. I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I love it. So for me as the program manager, it is my job to oversee the curriculum piece, because that really is the heart and the meat of sexual health education, is the curriculum in the classrooms. So I help to get the teachers trained, new staff trained. We do pre and post surveys to collect data and to monitor fidelity to make sure that we are getting the outcomes we intend to get by using the program we've adopted. And that's going really, we're in our ninth year. So a lot of this is not new. It's just routine and just kind of clicking through, which is really great because then that frees me up to do more extraneous things, like three schools did not have staff to lead or facilitate their gender sexuality alliance groups. And I'm like, pick me, because I'm not in the schools, I don't have a lot of direct access with youth. That's probably my biggest hurdle. So I look for those opportunities any place I can. So I'm currently facilitating the GSAs in three schools, which is really awesome. I support a fourth, but they've got the staff, so they don't need me as much. And then I'm also able, because schools aren't in session during the summer, I work all year long. So I've created a summer intern program where the easy description of that program is I pay youth to volunteer in their community. But really, it's so much more than that. We meet every week. I bring in professional development training. They've learned about suicide prevention and how to identify warning signs in their peers. We've talked about mental health issues. We've talked about vaping. We've talked about LGBTQ. We bring all of that in, and it's no surprise that young people have a lot to say on some of these topics. And this community is very lucky to have KD&K and the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. So we've collaborated on several occasions and just allowed the youth to speak freely and have created some really great radio programming from the youth perspective. And while the listeners might be scratching their head going, but wait a minute, I thought you said you were a sexual health program. That's a big umbrella. And sure. To me, a lot of prevention is about building relationships, connecting youth with the resources in their area when they're not in crises, so that maybe if and when there is a time that they are in crises, they'll be like, oh, I remember this person, not, oh, somebody gave me a business card once and told me to call this number. So by bringing in these different agencies to give professional development and then connecting youth with volunteer opportunities in their communities, we're building that network of trusted adults and a support system so that if they find themselves in a place of need, maybe somebody along the line connected with them and they can reach out and get the help that they need.
Wow, I had no idea it was that comprehensive and that much in the trenches. Yeah. So.
I like to be busy.
That's good. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. So, Dana, what opportunities do you see going forward for the Garfield County PrEP program?
Well, we are talking, we're looking at what that's going to look like sustainment-wise, but really part of the reason I wanted to be here today was to share some of the aha moments I had from attending the Transforming Healthcare Summit over in Denver. And so I would like to ask the listeners to maybe not so much look for opportunities within PrEP, but to look for opportunities within their own place of business. I'm noticing more and more my own office building, a building that serves youth that I was at a meeting at, a restaurant, other areas that the bathrooms, they have these little signs that say you need to wear a dress to go in here or a suit to go in here, but yet they lock behind you. So why are they separate? Why can't they just say restrooms? I found myself standing in a restaurant and the door with the dress figure was locked. The other door was open. And I stood there thinking, well, this is sort of ridiculous. I'm pretty sure they have all the plumbing that I need and the hand washing things that I need and a lock on the door, so I don't feel like I'm going to be walked in on. But yet I stood there and waited. I don't always do that. So just the simple thing of looking at your restroom labels and is it really necessary to segregate them by gender? If they lock behind and all the plumbing and necessities are in there, can't they just say restrooms? So just little things like that. Looking at your forms. I know PrEP had to adjust our application form because we asked if you were male or female. And it was, thank you, whoever you were, a young person who hand wrote in their own option and checked it. And it was like, oh, yeah. We need to change that. So looking at any kind of application, are you giving other options than male or female? When we're talking about homelessness in the area and how can we develop housing that is affordable for everybody and help get the homeless off the street, we have to remember that 40% identify as LGBTQ. And if our home applications aren't asking for that information, then we're really missing a big part of data that could drive the mission, get funding, all these other things to help the cause, whatever that might be.
It's funny how you mentioned that. I didn't really think about the bathroom situation to what you just mentioned, but back in July when we had Mountain Fair here in Carbondale, the porta potties, are they all locked behind you?
Right.
And we made it a point as part of the committee for Mountain Fair to say that they were not gender specific. And, we kind of made a joke about it. We put all these different symbols of like unicorns and mermaids, and we just said, we don't care, just wash your hands. Because, you know, it's an outhouse at the end of the day, and anyone should be able to use it, and they're not really gender specific.
Well, so. And sometimes I've seen this in like bars and restaurant type areas where they get so creative with their gender defined names that I'm like going, I don't know which is which because I don't know what these things mean.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah. Why?
Yeah. I mean, those little things can make a huge difference in someone's life that, you know, whether they're questioning their sexuality or their gender, just being able to have access to facilities.
Right.
You know, sometimes people get a lot of, you get put into a very stressful situation just trying to figure out, where can I go and not get in trouble? I just need to use the facilities.
Well, and another thing that kind of I was opened my eyes to is a lot of youth serving agencies in the Valley, we see transportation as a barrier to services. So we provide bus passes and think, oh, there we've done it. We've solved that problem. Transportation's no longer a barrier. But what I forgot to think about was, okay, I've just given a bus pass to a transgender person in Parachute. So first and foremost, they have to find a ride to Rifle to get the bus. Are they getting dropped off at the bus stop in a timely fashion to when the bus is going to arrive? Or are they going to be made to wait and stand there, thus putting them at a greater risk? How many changes and how many bus stops do they have to stand at before they get to their destination? I never thought about each one of those instances as being an increase to their safety. I do now. So there again, for agencies serving youth who think bus passes will be the answer to transportation. If you're talking about LGBTQ students, we have to look at that one step further. And is that further increasing their risk? Because I think most of us are trying to reduce the risk factors and increase the protective sure. factors. And sometimes we don't realize how we're counterproductive in that.
Yeah, and you know, undue consequences. You have no idea how that's going
exactly.
to happen.
Yeah.
And kind of tagging onto that, so what additional challenges do you feel, you know, LGBTQ plus youth in Garfield County are experiencing today? You know, so you mentioned this is one potential consequence. What are some other items you think are...
I think a lot of the barriers that I thought of when you sent me this question, I thought, well, this applies to pretty much everybody. When we're talking about access to services, transportation, those are oftentimes barriers, isolation, that are listed no matter the population that you're talking about. So I think those are very real issues. But what I hear about, especially from our transgender youth, is access to the True Center in Denver. The wait times, from what I'm being told over here, are excruciatingly long. In the meantime, these kids are dealing with body dysphoria, suicide ideation, possibly homelessness. And then I go to summits or trainings over in Denver, and they're like, oh, we've made such improvements. The wait times are so much less. And I'm like, pulling my hair out. Yeah. So for the transgender kids, just getting them the services they need oftentimes means going to Denver. And also I've had kids leave the Valley and come back going, is there a gay hangout, a place I can go where the majority of people will be like me so I don't have to navigate the fish pond of who's on my side and who's not and all of that. And we really don't have any youth gay friendly places per se. I know in some pockets of the Valley, they're accepted and it's okay and you can show up anywhere. But I think the youth are really looking for a homogeneous place of like folks where they can just sort of exhale and know that the other people in the room are likely to feel and look at the world the same, maybe have this looking for an attraction and that whole finding somebody to like me pool would be shrunk significantly.
Yeah, and I know in the last couple of years we made some great strides in that area. Obviously, there's mm-hmm. plenty of work to do. We most recently had Aspen Gay Ski Week a couple of weeks ago, and the second year in a row we've done a youth event where kids from up and down the Valley came to a skating day where Aspen Out paid for that. Free skate rentals, free lunch.
Right.
Parents were invited. This year, my estimate is it tripled in size over last year. And seeing the smiles on the kids' faces that they were meeting other kids from other schools that they didn't know were around, to build that community within the community was pretty emotional to see.
Yeah.
I know we also have the LGBT prom every mm-hmm. year. I believe it's in May in Carbondale, and kids from up and down the valley are invited yeah. to that. So we've made some great strides. And then last year, we had the first ever Pride Parade in the valley, which was in Carbondale, which was put on by the Carbondale Middle School. And not to to steal their thunder, but we're going to have our second annual one on May 1st for First Friday this year here in Carbondale.
Well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit because this is just who I am. The kids that I work with, for all the joy that I get hearing about all of those things, it also makes me terribly sad because I know kids in maybe Glenwood, but mostly Newcastle, Silt, Rifle, and Parachute. Yep. They either can't get there, or it's still cost prohibitive, or they just feel so separated from all of that, that even though they are invited and more than welcome, I don't know that they feel that. So it's nice, again, because I'm kind of free to be up and down Garfield County, I can take messages that are happening and kind of disseminate that and encourage the youth from Down Valley and problem solve and see how we can't get more involvement.
Yeah, and I know that's something we've struggled with here in the Valley is getting the word out because from what I hear, kids nowadays don't use Facebook.
That's what I hear.
they use other social media platforms that a lot of the adults that are running these may not be on those platforms. So there is a disconnect between the younger and older generation and how do you get that information out to
them.
Well,
and I always... listen to me using the word always, I'm going to call myself on that because I try very hard to really call people on words like always, never, everybody, nobody, because that we have that, but we just need to reach out more. And there's definitely work to be done. And I know I'm working with a group in Rifle, and they're trying to create a teen-friendly space at an in a room that's been offered for that. And there's already been some talk of having some LGBTQ groups there to where they know it's an okay space and they can come together and they wouldn't have to travel out of town and there's something there locally. So that hopefully by building something local, then we can start to connect them with the other things that are happening up and down the valley.
Well, we'll definitely, when I say we, since I help co-lead Gay for Good Rocky Mountains, I'm definitely have to pick your brain about that one some more because I'm definitely intrigued about how we do more things for the kids down in the lower part of the valley.
And that's, you know, that's not just a struggle for Gay for Good. That's a struggle of the geographics
Absolutely.
Of our area.
Absolutely. We just have a few minutes left. So what can our listeners, or how can our listeners get more involved with the work you do, especially our youth that are listening?
Well, if you're adults and you are on Facebook, Garfield County Prep does have a Facebook page. And most of the stuff that's real is real, real kids from here in the Valley. Otherwise, I share a lot from other places. And then we have the website, garfieldcountyprep.org. And I have recently added an LGBTQ plus page with some resources and some links. And it's interesting because I keep getting emails from people out there in the World Wide Web going, oh, I've noticed you have this page. Could you add my resource? And a lot of those are around finding LGBTQ plus friendly colleges. So it's interesting to see just putting that one page on the website, how it kind of brings people together. So there's a lot of information on the website, not just LGBTQ, but also what we're doing in the community, what the curriculums are in the schools, what the results are from those classes, so that, and my contact information as well.
That's all on there?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I know that we've created some synergy with other groups, mm-hmm. you know, like Gay for Good, Rocky Mountains has partnered with Aspen Out, Aspen Gay Ski Week, PFLAG, and we're all trying to create that synergy together for the common good of the Roaring Fork Valley. Especially since we don't have an LGBTQ plus center here like Denver does.
Right.
So we definitely want to do more outreach with you and see where we can even, you know, increase that synergy even more.
Absolutely.
So what else would you want to add before we sign off?
Just to get involved, for me personally, I had to get over some personal, like the word they, well, that's not grammatically correct because I was a grammar teacher. I have gotten over that. It still takes practice for me to use the right pronouns, but just that one little gesture that you're trying. I actually read a recent stat from the Search Institute that adults who are having developmental relationships with LGBTQ students, which just means you allow them to develop however they choose to develop and you support that without judgment or values, just that one relationship, just honoring their pronouns to the best you can, show that you're trying, reduces their suicide rate by 40%. Wow. So if you want to do something regarding the suicide rates of youth in our valley, use pronouns, the ones that they want you to use, not the ones that you feel comfortable using.
Yeah. And I actually catch myself doing that in my day job.
Yeah.
When I send emails and, you know, if someone has, you know, a name that, you know, it could be gender fluid, and I make no assumptions anymore when it's just in an email. I just say they.
Yeah.
Again, trying to be respectful and not make any assumptions. And it's been a journey for myself. And I catch myself as well, because I wasn't good at math, but I was good in English. So I really tried to be cognizant of that. So we, you know, don't offend anybody, that we really want to honor how they identify. And it takes work.
Well, and I would say too, because I work with and through the schools so much, I hear a lot about educators really trying to build grit and resilience in their student body. Look no further than your LGBTQ youth. When you hear about what these kids endure on a day-to-day basis just to get up and get through their day, I'm talking resilience and grit. And it's incredible. And I think they're an untapped resource, because oftentimes maybe they don't show up, or they don't behave in the way you want them to, or they cancel your appointment and they don't call. Well, you can't take that personally. It's probably their day is just insurmountable for them today. But the fact that they come in tomorrow or they make the next appointment, that's resiliency. That's what we're talking about. And they've got it. And I learn so much from them.
Great. And that's a great way to end this, because what this is about, it's a learning experience.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. We've been talking with Diana Andrews, who is a program manager for Garfield County Prep. For more information about Garfield County Prep, please visit their Facebook page. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. Thanks for listening to Dimensions University on the Annie Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.